Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. School is out for Sac City Unified, but when students of three campuses return for the upcoming school year, those schools will have new names. Sac City Unified School Board voted to rename Sutter Middle School and Kit Carson International Academy, located in East Sacramento, as well as Peter Burnett Elementary, located in Fruit Ridge Manor, due to names that the district explains glorify racist historical figures. John Sutter, considered a founder of California, Peter Burnett, our state's first governor, and Frontier Scout Kit Carson all made their mark in California history, but they also played an oversized role in racism, as well as the murder and enslavement of indigenous people. So the new identities of the schools will reflect Sacramento's indigenous and African American history. Sutter Middle School will become Miwok Middle School, honoring the Miwok people who originally inhabited Sacramento and are still here today. Peter Burnett is now Suyu Elementary, that is a Miwok name for hawk, and Kit Carson is now Umoja International Academy, honoring the first principal of Kwanzaa. Mark Harris is the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility Monitor for Sac City Unified and joins us with more on the significance. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you again.
Thanks for joining us again. Always nice to see you. So the renaming of these schools, they started a couple years ago, back in the fall of 2020. Even some reports started back with the Black Parallel School Board more than a decade ago, roughly around 2013. But the school renaming committee was appointed 3 years ago. What prompted this?
I think that, of course, when we had the demonstrations on social justice stemming from the murder of George Floyd, we saw a whole lot of movement in areas that had been stymied for many, many years. As you pointed out, this was not a new effort. It came forward as a community effort in 2020, but it had predated that by at least a decade. But I think that everyone's awareness was heightened after the murder of George Floyd.
Why did it take almost 3 years to get to this milestone, these name changes?
I think there are a couple of things. Number one, we were right in the middle of COVID. As you pointed out, this came together in the fall of 2020, a horrific time to try to make anything of this magnitude happen relative to all the disruptions that were caused by COVID. I think that was probably number one. Number two, Sac Unified wanted to make sure that there was community buy-in, that there was a wide range of perspectives. It didn't want to take a heavy-handed approach to this. Interestingly, Vicki, I just got back from Richmond, Virginia. Richmond, of course, was the epicenter of tributes to former Confederate leaders. They had a Monuments Avenue that had Stonewall Jackson statue and Robert E. Lee statue. All that has been wiped away. Within the past 6 months, every Confederate, former Confederate monument has been removed from all city-owned property in Richmond. The state, interestingly enough, I went to the state capitol, it still maintains at least one monument to a former Confederate officer. But the city of Richmond has wiped all that away. It took decades to make that happen, but we're seeing this pattern more and more throughout the country.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to your involvement in the district, you're the district's first diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility monitor. You know, you're appointed by the district to help navigate issues like this. What role did you have in this?
I'm completely in support of this. I didn't want to get out in front of the community. I think one of the roles of a good leader is to assess where the community is. This was an amazing group of people who came together. A third of the panel had to be folks who had a connection to the indigenous community. A third were folks who were broadly from the Sacramento community. And another third were employees of the district. So you had a cross-section of folks who worked together to make this happen. You know, interestingly, San Francisco has had an effort to try to rename some of its schools. It is not moved forward. It has not resulted in the desired outcome. And I'm really, really proud of Sacramento once again that we were able to get this done within a fairly reasonable amount of time. Mm.
Given that a third of the renaming committee, as you mentioned, was made up of Native Americans, what did you and the district learn from them and other indigenous people during this whole process and the conversations that took place?
I think one of the things you mentioned, Suyu School, that is the Miwok term for hawk. One of the ideas that had gone forward is that the school be renamed Red Hawk. And it was the indigenous community that said, why don't we use the actual name that we use to describe a hawk as opposed to what you, the post-colonial folks, use in that same description. I think that's the kind of insight that was important. I think the other thing is that these are not dead tribes, in quotes. These are people who are still living, who come from that culture, who come from that that community. And so I think it's important for Sacramentans and all those within the sound of our voices to appreciate the living history of indigenous people. They're not folks who were just the victims of colonial behavior. They're people who are still living among us, thriving. And I think the renaming of these schools underscores that. Mm.
When it comes to Umoja International Academy, which was formerly Kit Carson International Academy, how was that name chosen? What went into it?
Boy, if we had some issues at Kit Carson, I think that one of the repetitive engagements for my role here with the district has been issues that have emanated from Kit Carson. I think that what can't be lost in any of this, first of all, can I move back half a step? You mentioned the former first governor of California, Burnett, who the school was named after and has been renamed. Many people don't even know the history of John Sutter. Most people don't know the history that was associated with Peter Burnett. Peter Burnett was an avowed racist. Peter Burnett immigrated to California from Tennessee. He became California's first governor. He was a slaveholder in Tennessee. He advocated for California being basically a slave state. California had statutes on the books that were meant to return any runaway slaves to whomever their enslaver had been. So when you talk about Umoja, you're talking about a principle of togetherness, of unity. I think it's beautiful to have students who enter a campus be greeted with the message of unity and family, as opposed to someone who represents racism and oppression.
I mean, you bring up a huge part of this, which is an educational component. In addition to just changing the names, I would imagine there's going to be an educational component as well, you know, teaching people about the contributions, both good and bad, you know, and the neglected parts of history for, is what in this conversation, specifically these three historical figures.
I want to commend this board led by President Rhodes. For really understanding that this is about being anti-racist. This is about attacking racism. It's not about just giving empty platitudes. When a student goes to a school, I remember the names of my school. I'll tell you right now, Alta Loma Elementary School, Louis Pasteur Junior High School. Those were schools that were named for folks that I didn't even understand what the significance was. They were named for people and places. One of the things that the naming committee wanted to do was not rename these schools for other individuals, because the more we find out about people, the less impressed we are with their history. All the human foibles come forward. When a student enters a school and embraces a school with pride, particularly an elementary school or a middle school student, that's the embodiment of that name that attaches to them. I think these three names that you mentioned, the renamed schools, will give those students a whole different sense of self and of community and of pride. And I'm very happy to have played a small role in that process.
You gave us a little bit of contextual history about Peter Burnett. What would you like listeners to know about John Sutter and Kit Carson?
I think that Kit Carson, supposedly the great explorer, the great adventurer, you know, I will tell you honestly, and I know within the sound of my voice, there are others. We were not told these things when we were coming through school. When we learned about John Sutter and we learned about Kit Carson in particular, I didn't learn about Burnett at all when I was in elementary, middle, or high school. But as to Carson and Sutter, we learned they were heroes. That's what I learned. Sutter Fort is at the epicenter of our community here in Sacramento, still in existence, still having school children led through that environment. So we were taught they were heroes and that they should be held up as champions. We now find out that there was a significant exploitation of indigenous people. Again, in the case of Burnett, he was an avowed racist and pro-slaver. And so the more we know, I really believe, Vicki, that the more we learn, the better we behave. So I think this endeavor is really important for everyone to understand what the true history of California is and to make a place in that history for all of us, not just certain people who have a certain history that we may or may not have been fully aware of.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Mark Harris, the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility Monitor for Sacramento City Unified, about the district's decision to rename three of its schools. What has been the response to these name changes? It's now been, you know, several days since this announcement was made.
Right. A little mixed, honestly. There are some who say if you're going to rename every school or monument that has a connection to racism, you're going to be renaming schools all day long. And I say, OK, I'm not trying to be glib about that, Vicki. I went to the University of California, Berkeley School of Law, otherwise known historically as Bolt Hall, named after John Bolt, who I did not know up until 5 years ago had such a history of racist behavior, anti-AAPI racism in the Chinese and Asian Exclusion Acts of the 1800s. We didn't know. Once we found out, the school was able to change the name. And there were those who say, how could you? Our school has been known as Bolt Hall for all these years. I don't care. Toss it. Same thing with Hastings School of Law in San Francisco, now been renamed for the same reason. Our history, sadly, is interwoven with oppression and racism. And we have to, once we're aware of it, take every effort, make every effort to undo some of the harm that was caused going forward. And so I'm a big fan of it. I know not everyone in the community supports this, but once we get back in the fall, we'll have a better opportunity to assess how our community feels about these name changes.
Yeah, I mean, the legacy of people considered pioneers, I mean, it's complex. You know, there really isn't this established set of rules when harm outweighs contributions, right? How challenging is it to determine a historical figure's legacy, since that could differ depending on who you speak to and how and the value attached to that person depending on who you're speaking to?
Not so hard for me, Vicki. People say to me that you would be in favor of limiting some of the accolades received by American heroes like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. And I would say absolutely. For all the things that they accomplished, they were also enslavers. And I think that disqualifies you as being a person worthy of tribute. When you go back to my earlier statement about Richmond, Virginia, I mean, you had Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, who in my mind and a lot of Americans' minds were traitors relative to what they did in the context of the Civil War. Why do we want to hold them up as heroes relative to the role they played in the great insurrection known as the Civil War? So yeah, it's a matter of perspective, and I can see that. For every person who feels the way I do, there's a person or persons who feel exactly the opposite. There are those who say you're never going to have perfection, Attorney Harris, if that's what you're looking for. That's why I think it was a pretty good idea to not name these schools after persons, but instead to name them for something other than persons, the Miwok tribe, the Miwok term for hawk, and then, of course, Umoja. I like that approach, and I'd like to see that happen throughout the entire state.
What do you think this says about our country and society? You know, the fact that, you know, we all have these different perspectives, and for a lot of people, changing a name can be offensive.
There's a big fight right now. One of the districts I advise is the Fresno Unified School District, where there's a big fight right now for renaming a street after Cesar Chavez. I don't get it. I mean, I think Cesar Chavez was a great Californian, worthy of having a street named after him. I know in Los Angeles, where I was born and raised, Rodeo Road, not Rodeo Drive. There's a Rodeo Road in South Central LA. And of course, Rodeo Drive is the famous one in Beverly Hills. Rodeo Road has been renamed for Barack Obama. I don't know how many people use that new term to describe that road. And, you know, it goes on and on. Santa Barbara Avenue was renamed for Martin Luther King Jr. And that's happened throughout various cities throughout the country. So it's always a struggle. There are those who want to stay with whatever was traditional. But I really do ask everyone to search inside themselves. How would you feel if your child was exposed to an environment that said to them every day they walk through the portal of entry that it represented racism and oppression and violence? I don't think anybody really would embrace that on that basis. So that's what I would ask people to think about as they consider these name changes.
There is a price tag attached to this. The estimated cost of renaming the schools is, you know, about $500,000. What would you say to those who believe that the $550,000 would be better spent potentially hiring more teachers, which the district is currently facing a shortage of?
I would answer what the little boy answered who was starving and was posed with the question, do you want fish, chicken, or beef? And he answered, yes. In my opinion, you're right. We can use everything that we can get relative to the education of our kids. But I think we have a lot of things that money's spent on that don't reflect the community desire to see oppression and symbols of oppression removed from the daily existence of our students and their families. And so I think it's money well spent. It's $550 between three schools. And at the end of the day, it may be a little less, it may be a little more. But I hope that the people who are within the sound of our voices will support the effort that SAC Unified is making and other efforts in the future to correct some of the historical wrongs that have been present in our district.
Mark, thank you for the time.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure, Vicki.
Mark Harris is the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility Monitor for the Sacramento City Unified School District, discussing the renaming of three schools to honor the city's Indigenous and African American history and removing the names of historically racist and oppressive figures. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.